This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
There's a difference between the confidence you get from a supercut and a haircut somewhere else. Any haircut can hang 10, but a supercut hangs 20. A regular cut can outrun an angry dog, but a supercut runs with fierce Spanish bulls. Any haircut will take off about an inch, but a supercut from the best trained stylists in the business will give you the confidence to try anything.
Awesome.
Get in, get confident at Supercuts every time.
You've dreamed about it, thought about it, now do it. The Victory Motorcycles Fuel in the Dream event has bikes starting at $10,999 now until July 31st. Victory is fueling your passion by getting you on the American V-twin you've always dreamed of. Get into your local dealer today or visit victorymotorcycles.com to see bikes starting at $10,999. At participating dealers only, offer includes factory rebates and available coupons and may be terminated at any time. Please wear a helmet, eye protection and protective clothing and obey the speed limit. Never ride under the influence of drugs and alcohol.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
I woke up this morning in some Japanese family's rec room, and they would not stop screaming.
Loud noises!
Don't touch me. I'll beat your brains out.
Not a game, not a game, not a game.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
It's sports.
All around the clock, sports all the time. That's the concept of the news.
Oh, that's never going to work. That's ridiculous.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us, folks. We got a great lineup on the show today. I know you're out there listening to all the talk of George Steinbrenner passing away at the age of 80. Big shock this morning to hear that. Been off and on sick throughout the last couple years, and you hear reports and you just think it's one of those spells. He'll get over it. Well, a heart attack has put him to rest. The boss no longer with us, dead at the age of 80. I know several of you have memories about that. We can go there. British Open coming up this week. Big 12, 12 teams in 12 days rolls on as our Big 12 coverage goes right up to media days. We're going to feature the Baylor Bears today. The Baylor Bears, a little bit of a disappointment a year ago with Robert Griffin going down. We will see if replacing Jordan Lake, see if replacing Joe Pollock, see if they can replace those two guys on defense, and see if Robert Griffin can, in fact, become the force that many people thought he would be. Of course, on the track when he was running the 400-meter hurdles and did so there. We will talk to their play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears in John Morris at about 30 past the hour. We're going to get things started here shortly, though, by talking to Doug Christensen, the chancellor of the University of Nebraska-Kearney in his ninth year. We're going to talk about conference affiliation realignment. Will Kearney choose to go the other direction and stay out of the mountains in the middle of the winter? We'll get his thoughts on that and see where they're at in the process. We're also joined by Coach Bobby Crocker, sitting in for Doug, defensive coordinator at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. It's interesting, we're going to talk to Coach Crocker in the middle of the summer. He's been at some great football venues throughout his coaching career. He was at the University of Kansas to get started with Glenn Mason as a graduate assistant, went on to James Madison, was at Old Miss as well when Eli Manning was there. Deuce Staley was there. Several other great, great players. So look forward to chatting with Bobby about some football. You know, all the stuff, you know, with George Steinbrenner passing away, you almost forget that there is an All-Star game tonight. The best All-Star game there ever is in sports. When you look at the All-Star games out there, football, nobody pays attention to. You look at basketball, it's an absolute joke. It's 210 to 196. You look at so many other All-Star games that really don't catch your attention. Well, the one that does is the baseball All-Star game, where the great players of the game get together on one night. and they play for something. And that's what it's all about. Coach Crocker, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks for stepping in and sitting in for Doug today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's kind of a neat deal you have in here. I've never been in here.
Well, all the new equipment and stuff, yes. It's like taking a blast from the past, isn't it?
All the posters and just different things are catching my eye, yeah.
Put the posters from the 80s. The 80 Nebraska posters. Anyway, the All-Star game, you mentioned, we talk about it being the one All-Star game that so many people pay attention to tonight. What happens now? What does Major League Baseball do when the greatest owner, I think it's safe to say, and I'm not a Yankees fan, as a matter of fact, now I don't despise him as much as Doug does, but there's certainly, being a Royals fan, you certainly hate the Yankees. But he is the greatest owner in all of sports to do what he did to win championships and to put the stiff arm in the face of everybody that wants a salary cap. All those championships, dead.
Yeah, it was. You know, last 2 days, the Yankees have had a couple things happen to them. And, you know, me, growing up a Red Sox fan, I was never been a Yankee. I've been kind of a Yankee hater, but at the same time, I always had respect for them and enjoyed the competition between them and the Red Sox and entire Major League Baseball.
You know, I just visiting here before the show, I did not realize that every time Derek Jeter comes to bat, that is the voice of Bob Shepard, the longtime PA announcer of the New York Yankees, that announced Mickey Mantle and all those greats, Yogi Berra, all those greats for so long. That is still his voice that is recorded.
Yeah, I think he was the PA guy for about 50 years or somewhere around there. And I know that when Derek Jeter does come to bat, it's still him announcing his name.
You know, I think one of the great, you know, when you hear Bob Shepard, the Mickey Mantle saying, I still get goosebumps every time I hear that, and Bob Shepard replying, so do I, Mickey, so do I.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I had a chance to go to Yankee Stadium a couple times in the 80s, and it was a great venue, New York City, obviously the Bronx, and it was, even though I was, like I said, I didn't care for the Yankees, it was great being there and all the tradition.
Now, obviously, you're just a little bit older than I am by 6, 8, 9 years.
Sure.
But you remember more of the firings and the, I guess, sports wasn't so, it wasn't 24/7. You know, you had maybe the start of ESPN was then, but you had SportsCenter on an hour. It wasn't live all morning long, changing things up when someone broke. But the hiring, to fire Mickey Mantle 5 times, it was utter chaos all throughout the 80s, him basically pushing people around and bullying people. And then he's gone today.
Yeah, it does bring back memories because, you know, back then, you're right, you didn't have as much to do, and a lot of stuff was on radio and just network TV. But I always got a kick out of just the different things that he would do because I liked the turmoil that was created within the Yankees, and it was always good entertainment.
It was always Miller Lite commercials, too.
Oh, those are the best. And he was on quite a few of them, and, you know, firing Billy Martin and rehiring him, and the ad campaigns are pretty good.
Five times for Billy Martin, and you know some of his, the legendary Dave Winfield sued him.
Yeah, I was listening today on a couple radio deals, and some things got brought back memories of things that happened that I had forgot about. But I know back then he was in the news a good bit of the year.
Well, folks, if you want to chime in on the boss passing away at the age of 80, 1-888-455-3776, or shoot us an email, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. That's DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Right now, we're going to switch gears a little bit and welcome to the show the chancellor in his 9th year at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. And I think he was shocked, too, to learn the passing of the boss.
I got it on a news flash on my computer this morning. And, yeah, it sort of catches your attention, and that's one of the icons of sports, and you pay attention to that.
Doug, thanks for joining us this morning. Let's talk a little bit different maybe than it was when the University of Nebraska is entertaining. There's not 80 reporters showing up, all around every day hounding you for information, learning about phone calls going back and forth. What is the status right now of the conference affiliation as far as the RMAC and the MIAA?
Well, I think the ball's in our court right now. we have been looking for the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years at various things of conference affiliation. Now, we probably do it a little differently than what our colleagues in Lincoln would do. We are not looking at major TV contracts or revenue enhancements. Our main focus is what's best for student athletes, and that's what really makes Division II a much different level than Division I. It is not win at all cost. It's not arms races. It is we're there for the student athlete. They're students first. They're good athletes, but what's in their best interest? If you also put in the fact that we've got to run and manage the university with costs the way they are and that budget cuts are occurring, we've got a budget bill we've got to cut sometime in the next month here and make those reductions. It makes sense to look at conference affiliation. Are there ways we can save money? Are there ways that we can do things for our student athletes? And changing conference is one of those options. It really didn't become a reality until the MIAA decided to open up its membership, and that was done earlier this year.
Now, something that we talk about sports on this show, I think that the public out there concerning themselves, whether they're a Loper football fan, whether they're a Loper basketball fan, they're a fan, and it's I think mostly for the fact that local area kids contribute to those teams, especially on the football side of things here lately, and people know so many of those kids, and I think that's why the attendance has gone up. That's why I think some of the winning's gone up. And I think that's what people are following. You've got to follow it on a whole different side, the academic side of things as well.
Well, we need to look at the entire university. And athletics is a vital part of a university. People don't, we don't have 5,000 people come to see a history class, for example. But they will come, and we view athletics as sort of the front porch of our university. In other words, as people drive by, their first visit to a university is probably as a young kid. It's like my daughter, she'll go to a volleyball game or a basketball game. At the same time, she walks by the residence halls, she sees professors in the stands, she sees the community people, and all of a sudden you start to look and say, you know, I could see myself here as an undergraduate. So that's part of it. The other part is students retain better if they're an athlete. Well, why is that? Coaches, good coaches who take an interest and make sure they're going to class, they're getting their grades done. The retention rate for athletes is higher than the average student because somebody cares about them and takes care of them and is pushing them. And that's really crucial, and that's one of the metrics we have is whether a university's successful or not. So athletics is a vital part of an institution, but it can't become the sole focal point.
Is there a timeline of when we have to do something?
Well, I think we need to do something this summer, clearly. The MIAA, I believe, has 3 other applications for memberships that are in. We have a little different process. We want to make sure our Board of Regents is comfortable with any decision that we make. Internally right now, John McBride is, I think, still gathering some information. We're taking a look at finances and how this would impact our operational cost. It isn't all cost savings, obviously, to switch. There's a membership fee. There's dues that are going to be a little higher than the RMAC. We want to look at where we would be competitively with the numbers of scholarships. And all those are things that, you know, we don't want to get into this and 2 years later going, oh, I wish we'd thought about this. So we want to be methodical. At the same time, we need to give the RMAC notice if we're going to leave. And if we're going to stay, we probably owe the RMAC to start scheduling us back in. So I would think sometime in the next 30 days we'll have made some decisions.
Chancellor at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Doug Christensen, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Okay, scholarships is the next question. As far as if we would go to a conference that is fully funded or viewed as a fully funded, and I guess people look at that as a football term, 36 is the maximum allowed in Division II. Would we increase scholarships towards football automatically if we moved that direction?
Well, it wouldn't happen automatically. It's something we would have to set as a goal and internally do. There's a couple things that come into play here. Not every team in the MIAA is full at 36. Clearly the top end is. And if you're going to compete at the highest level, that's where you would want to set your sights.
Out of all Division II schools, do we know how many are fully funded? I think it's 25. Would that be a good?
It's not very many. I think the average sets down in the mid 20s. We were part of an effort to restrict scholarships and increase competitiveness, and lost that fight a few years ago at the NCAA meetings. But the average is still down, I think, in the lower 20s. Looking at all of Division II. But if you're going to look at the competitive top end, the top half, that number probably gets closer up into the high 20s. The MIAA is certainly viewed as probably one of the top conferences in the country. Clearly it is for football, but for some of the sports as well. And we're not looking at a conference that has every sport, every school, and every sport at the top end of their scholarship level. But I think that's a reasonable goal, is to up scholarships for student athletes to be able to compete at those levels. That's a reasonable goal to have, whether we do that internally with reallocations, whether we go out and do private fundraising, which is probably the best way to go about it. I think that's our goal.
Fair enough. I think this question was asked to Mr. McBride, and maybe you can shed some light on it. If we are to go from 20 to 36 scholarships, that's 16 scholarships difference. If you figure a scholarship is worth $15,000, the 16 times the 15, using Bertrand Public School math, would be $240,000.
That's pretty good.
If we have a $1.2 billion, with a B, right, foundation, why would the foundation not be more than happy to make us as competitive as we could be competitive-wise and just say, here's the $240,000. Way to be you guys. Enjoy it. Best of luck.
Mm-hmm. That question also gets asked in all the academic areas, too, saying, look, if we want to pay and attract good faculty members, how come the foundation won't take some of that $1.2 billion and give us just a little? We need just this much. It works like this. If you give a donation to the university foundation, it is managed by them and invested by them and fairly successfully done so. I believe over 98% of all of their monies are targeted, and the donor says, I want my money to go here. I want it to go to the Med Center for a research tower. I want my $20 million or my $50 million for water research to go to UNL, and I want it to pay for professors, research, and those sorts of things. Most all the money that sits in the university's foundation's total assets are restricted and are targeted. So if I want to give money to UNK football, I don't want them using that money for UNO football. So I restrict it and I say, I want my money to go here. Most of those funds all follow where the restrictions go. So it isn't like they have one big pot of money and they sit there as a group and say, oh, we're going to give Lincoln this much and UNO this much and UNK this much, because they don't have that much unrestricted money. Every year we have about $1 million of unrestricted funds that the campuses compete for, and that's income primarily. I go and make a pitch. It's usually an academic pitch. Sometimes it's been for facilities, but most of the time it's an academic pitch saying we need this to improve. It used to be that we'd get 8% because we're 8% of the university. Well, this year they just divided the whole pie into four and we got 1/4. Now, I got three campuses that aren't very happy because we got about three times what we normally would get. But that's $1 million of one-time money that they give us for 1 year. That's certainly not enough to go and talk to a young man or young woman and say, look, we want you to come to college and we're going to pay your scholarships. So the foundation is very helpful to us. We do a lot of good things, and it really protects us if someone gives us money through the foundation and targets it for UNK or for UNK athletics. I know it's going to be there, and we're going to get the income from that, and the interest will follow. But it isn't just a pool of open money. I wish it was, but most people who give money want to see something happen for it, and they give it for a purpose.
Can you stick with us through a break here?
Oh, sure.
Merritt's back there waving his arms, jumping up and down. We got to get to a break. We'll be right back with Doug Christensen, Chancellor of the University of Nebraska at Kearney, right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The courtyard at Cunningham's is now open, and there's a lot of reasons to come out, like enjoying great food off the grill. Their bacon-wrapped shrimp, amazing. Or how about their outstanding prime rib? Also in the courtyard, there's live music Tuesday through Saturday with local and regional acts. Happy hour from 3 to 6, and don't forget Cunningham's also has the coldest beer in town. The courtyard, the perfect place to get away from it all. It's like being on vacation at a place you love to go time and time again. The courtyard at Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Imagine a friend has just told you they were diagnosed with a mental illness. What would you do? Awkward, isn't it? But what's even more awkward is, if you're not there for them, they'll be less likely to recover. Mental illness. What a difference a friend makes. To learn more, go to whatadifference.org. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble. On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281, for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
Summer is fun, but with bug bites, you have to be careful for West Nile and Lyme disease. Ask your pharmacist at ABC Drug how to help fight insect bites. ABC Drug is your summer-soothing Health Mart headquarters. ABC now carries insulated picnic totes, complete with shatter-resistant plates and glasses, silverware, napkins, and salt and pepper shakers, with room to pack the meal. It's all you need for the perfect picnic. Only at ABC Drug and Gift, on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
It's just as easy as ABC Drug Store.
It's a fact. Accidents happen. The wrong time to become concerned about your insurance coverage is after you've met someone by accident. Make sure that you have the right coverage at the right price by contacting the Kroll Agency in Hastings, Kennesaw, Roseland, and Minden. The Kroll Agency offers auto insurance from Wadena Insurance Company, a member of the IMT Group. Wadena provides fast claim service, new car replacement, and identity theft recovery built right into their auto policy for no additional premium. Contact the Kroll Agency Incorporated for a free quote today.
The NHL handed out its postseason hardware Wednesday.
Instantly and on demand, anytime you want sports video.
But it was far from a masterpiece.
AP Sports is on ESPNRadioSuperstation.com.
The Americans are once again preparing to play.
Where you'll also find ESPN Sports Center on demand.
When I step on the court, this is not going to change. I'm always going to work hard.
Taylor Hall is the first piece in downtrodden Edmonton's rebuilding project.
ESPNSuperstation.com with a new look. Coming soon.
We'll see some areas of fog early on today. Otherwise, looking at partly to mostly sunny skies throughout the day with highs of 96. South winds stay at 10 to 15. That will stay partly cloudy tonight with a low of 74 as winds stay to the south. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 81.
Well, we're back, Doug and Daddy Show, live with Doug Christensen, Chancellor of the University of Nebraska at Kearney, along with defensive coordinator for the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Bob Crocker. Great to have both of them in studio with us today. There's so many different directions, and we're learning so much, and we appreciate you sticking with us, Doug, sure. Through this break. It's just interesting. You're talking about not being able to spend. There's rules out there as well with athletics that people don't realize.
That's correct. There's a Board of Regents policy that basically says that we can't increase athletic spending any more than what the cost of higher education spending in general goes up. So that's, in the last few years, that's not been very much. We've actually been going in reverse a little bit. So we've got a Board of Regents policy that we respect and we follow and have to live up to. At the same time, the cost of tuition goes up. So when you say the 20 scholarships, if we keep 20 scholarships, well, when tuition goes up 6% every year, unless we add 6% more, you're actually, you have fewer scholarships in there. And so you've got to be mindful that we're going to need private monies to put those scholarships into place and make sure the students get what we promised them.
Basically, the money, whether you earmark it or not, for football, it's going to be earmarked from private donors if we are to get up to the 36 scholarship. It's not going to come from the Board of Regents getting together and saying, you know, boys, we sure like to make this UNK deal competitive every year and with the same amount of scholarships.
No, I think that's right. If we're going to have to help ourselves, and that's going to be our goal. I think we've got people who can do that, quite frankly. We want to move in that direction for scholarships. And, we spend, most people don't know this, we spend more on athletics of state tax dollars than Lincoln does. Lincoln spends zero. They put zero of the taxpayers' money into athletics. We're probably putting somewhere between $1.6 and $1.7 million of taxpayer money.
Well, that's a big knock on Darryl, because if he could put 80,000 butts in the seats up here, and we could start doing that.
Well, I'm going to take my chances with Darryl.
I'm kidding, Darryl. I joke because that's not going to happen, but that's why.
Well, and to a great deal, it's TV, it's revenue, it's win at all cost.
Yeah.
The reason Division II is so good is because you can sit in the sideline and get to know Bob Crocker. You can get to know Darryl Morris. You can go actually after the game and walk up to a young man and see Rustin Dring, and Rustin Dring's going to talk to you. He's not going to say, hey, go talk to my agent. I don't have one, but go talk to my guy. They're real people. It's great competition, and most of us can identify with that a great deal. That's what's great about Division II. And, oh, by the way, I'd rather hire those kids who've worked hard. They have no expectations of being prima donnas. They're good and decent people. That's the reason I want to go see those games.
But there's going to be some obvious concerns if these other schools that you're going to play 9 out of 10 times in that other conference have the fully funded scholarships, where we do not, and it becomes an equity deal where some people get hurt, our frontline guys, it just gets to where you're overmatched physically, which you're looking at that as well.
You are. I think always you have to be concerned about competitiveness, and it changes from sport to sport. In tennis, if there's a physical mismatch, I'm probably not too worried about our tennis player having a career-ending injury. In football, if there's a mismatch, I think I'm going to worry about doing damage to a young man. What I don't worry about at UNK is our coach's desire to be competitive. You tell me who we're going to play, we'll show up, we're going to play our best. I don't hear anybody offering excuses about, oh, gee, you know, we can't do this or we can't do that. The competitive spirit's there. That's what you want to see. But at the same time, you got to be practical. It's depth. Most people also think that when we talk about scholarships, if you look at UNL scholarships, those are full-ride scholarships to those young men. And they may sit on the bench and never play it down, but they're getting a full-ride. And it's a wonderful opportunity. That does not happen at Division II. Most of our scholarships are parceled out. So we've got kids that are playing for $300, for $500. You know, maybe a big time's $1,000. Coach Crocker's probably got a better handle on football, but we do a lot of partial scholarships here. And so that full 36 isn't just to buy 36 big-time players. We spread all that money out, and
I don't know that anyone's ever had a full ride, have they?
No, not that I know of, and I don't.
I mean, even a Coleman. I mean, when he was setting passing records, I don't know that Justin.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, Chancellor's right. You break it up, and you try to help as many kids as you possibly can. Of course, you have to recruit initially to be able to out offer another school, but then you have so many guys that come here and walk on that once they're on the field, you have to take care of them somehow. So that's why you do end up breaking it up into $1,000 here and $1,000 there, and take care of as many guys as you possibly can. You'd like to help them all, but when you have a certain budget, you're limited.
I would think facility-wise, we rank right up there with anybody, even in that other conference. Maybe not as far as size, perhaps, with the Northwest Missouri.
Quality of total quality of facilities, the MIAA has told us we'd come in at the top of the conference, which is a feather in the Kearney cap. The other part that makes us attractive is they'd like to be like us. They'd like to be like us academically. They'd like to be like us from the variety of sports we offer.
Wow.
Most of those people have come here for championship wrestling. They've seen the Women's National Championship. The commissioner of the MIAA was here when he was, I believe, at A&M Commerce when they played in the Women's National Basketball Tournament. They've seen that there's a class act here, that the athletic department does this, that the fan base, the community supports these things, and that's what makes us attractive. They're not looking for a patsy. Believe me, there's a lot of MIAA teams that are going, oh man, we don't want to go to Kearney and play every year. We're going to get our head handed to us. Now, that happens in a variety of settings. That's what makes rivalries, and that's what makes good athletic competition.
Well, let's be honest. A diploma from the University of Nebraska at Omaha is nothing but glorified toilet paper anyway. But that's just my point of view. Unless you have a degree from the Med Center, then maybe you take a step up. But we have some fun with our friends, the Mavericks. But we're not big fans here because we look at them, we're a little jealous of their financial situation.
What's that email?
It's Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Send that to the Chancellor.
Tom in Hastings has chimed in on the Dent Bobber inbox. He says, on the increase on scholarships, would the increase mean the scholarships would be shared by all sports, or does that pertain just to football?
Well, I think you would. One that's up to John McBride is the athletic director, who's going to parcel those scholarships out. I would think that you would probably have to prioritize those in where the needs of competition were, and you would probably do it on the number of athletes as well. So, for example, football's probably a little behind, and they've got a large number of players, and that's where the competitive challenges might appear first. So you might start there, but John McBride will do a fine job, and we've also got to pay attention to what the law is. We have to respect Title IX, and we're going to do that. And I think it's a matter of where people want to give their money, too. If we've got somebody who comes in and says, I want to give it to football scholarships, that's where it's going. I mean, it's not going anywhere else. Conversely, somebody comes in and says, I'd like to see the women's soccer program get a few more scholarships. Absolutely. That's where it's going to go.
Doug, we appreciate the time today. Well, I said
this is kind of an honor.
Us 5 or 10 minutes, and we've had him a half hour. So I appreciate you getting maybe a little bit of a break today. You hope your daughter feels better.
I do too. And my phone hasn't been ringing since I've been here, so that's good. I might come back. But we appreciate everything that you all do to promote, to cover, to highlight what's going on at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. And we've got one of the best athletic programs. I think we've got one of the best universities in the country, and it's right here in Kearney in South Central Nebraska, and that's really what it's all about. That's the reason it's a pleasure to work here, and people like you and Doug who support us and help us get the word out is just top-notch. So thanks for all you do.
It's fun to gear up for another exciting fall sports season when you get the volleyball team ranked where they are and you get the football team winning their first playoff game coming off of that as well. So
yeah, I'd sure like to see summer last a little longer, but I know that the fall sports season starts to come around because hot dogs start to sound good again probably about that first week of September. So thanks
a lot. Thanks so much, Doug. Doug Christensen in his ninth year as chancellor at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. We're going to continue our 12 teams in 12 days right here on the Doug and Daddy Show with the Baylor Bears right after this play-by-play announcer, John Morris, back after this.
Tomorrow, Discovery says goodbye to Captain Phil, a family man and a loyal friend. Nobody could turn a phrase like him.
Now you know why lions eat their young.
We always wish the best for him.
I'm not going to be here for very much longer.
We just wish he hadn't been right.
I don't know how to tell you this, but we lost Dad, dude.
Join us for Phil's final episode on a special 2-hour Deadliest Catch. Tomorrow at 9, only on Discovery.
The Sears Automotive Center knows that when you get your car back from the shop, you don't want to feel like you've been taken for a ride. That's why the Sears Blue Automotive Crew offers Price Match Plus to get you the best price guaranteed. Come see for yourself at the Get Ready for Summer Sale. Through June 12th, save on all Michelin tires, plus get free installation with a $70 mail-in rebate with a purchase of four. And get a standard Valvoline oil change for just $19.99 with no shop fees. Visit SearsAuto.com for more great deals. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Life well spent.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some areas of fog early on today. Otherwise, looking at partly to mostly sunny skies throughout the day with highs of 96. South winds stay at 10 to 15. That will stay partly cloudy tonight with a low of 74 as winds stay to the south. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 81.
I'm back, Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us 25 years ago today. Coach, you know where you were?
25 years ago today. I would have been graduating from UNK.
Live Aid. Do you remember Live Aid going on 25 years ago today?
I remember a little bit about it.
I believe it went for the famine in Africa.
Yeah, I remember like John Cougar, Mellencamp, and some of the bands that played at it, yeah.
Live 25 years ago today, my wife this morning is kind of being, she said, did you, I said, she said, did, we're going back and forth with you know, she likes to get into the sports talk a little bit. She says, did you know that George Steinbrenner died? I said, yeah. I said, do you know Live Aid happened 25 years ago today? She said, did you know that Dave guy won the home run derby last night? I said, that the Dave guy, huh? I go, what's his last name? She goes, I don't remember, but I think it's Dave. I go, that's Big Poppy, David Ortiz. She goes, yeah, him.
Well, at least she's watching.
Yeah, she's okay. trying to pay attention. Hey, our Big 12 preview rolls on right now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And now for the last time, it's time to preview the 12 teams in 12 days on the Doug and Daddy Show's Big 12 Preview. Big 12 Media Days is fastly approaching, and Doug and Daddy will have guests from
Baylor,
Oklahoma,
Missouri,
Texas,
Colorado,
Oklahoma State,
K-State,
Texas Tech,
Kansas, Iowa State,
A&M,
and Nebraska.
Let's get you ready for Big 12 Media Days that starts on July 26th, 27th, and 28th. Not to mention...
Why not talk to the play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears, John Morris, right now on the Doug and Daddy Show. John, good morning. Thanks so much for the time today.
Good morning to you. How you guys doing today?
Well, we're all right. Probably, actually, yesterday was probably, we were about 77 here. Well, you guys probably, what, 108?
I don't think it was 108. We had a little cloud cover yesterday. I think it was about 95. So that's normal for this time of year here in Texas.
Well, John, everybody's gearing up for football season. We've got the realignment talk all behind us, and now it's all football ahead. Obviously, the first question, if you're dealing with the Baylor Bears, has to be with Robert Griffin and how he recovered from the knee injury.
Yeah, that is usually the first question. That's probably the most important question as we look ahead to this season. And he has rehabbed, by all accounts, very, very well. They kept the reins on him in the spring. He did a lot of work, but no contact at all in the spring. I think if you ask Robert right now, he would tell you that today he's 95% and just itching to get back out there. He's done a lot of work in rehab on his upper body and put on 6 pounds of upper body strength, which is good and should, you know, help him as he goes through this season. But everything's good. He's going to be ready. He will wear a brace this year and doesn't feel like that will hamper his mobility or his speed at all.
Now, with the change to Nick Florence a year ago, what do they do with him? Will he just be the backup quarterback, or with his athleticism, they find a place on the field for him?
Yeah, you know, through the spring, obviously, he was a quarterback because Griffin wasn't out there, you know, to go through all the drills. And I haven't heard any talk about moving him. I think he is a very good insurance policy, you know, at quarterback, and I don't think they'd want to move him away from there. There's some other quarterbacks that are here, but none have hardly any experience or maybe any experience at all on the field. So I think you got to keep Nick at quarterback and, you know, find some ways to get him onto the field when you can.
Really, it's not only Robert Griffin at the quarterback position. You get Jay Finley running the football. You got Kendall Wright receiving the football. They got to feel pretty good about the skill positions right now if you're a Baylor Bear fan.
Yeah, I think so. And a guy like Jay Finley is coming off an injury season as well. We never really knew last year how bad it was, but he had a high ankle sprain that really slowed him down up until the last game of the year. And he had off-season surgery as well. So he's going to be, we hope, 100% this year. And that should be a huge factor to get him back 100% as your starting tailback and then Griffin back. And a guy like Kendall Wright, who avoided injury last year, but he's just a dynamic player at receiver. And I agree with you. I think Baylor's got some very good skill position players, and they've got some guys in the offensive front that are coming back that have experience now. But you know how it is. It always comes down to the trenches, those guys in the offensive and defensive line that really make the difference.
John Morris joins us, play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears. John, I guess defense is the side of the ball that has given Baylor fits and fits over the years. You look at pretty good secondary returning, pretty good linebacker core returning, albeit with the loss of Lake and Pavlik. But you look at the defensive line. Who's going to be the leader up there to set the tone for this defense?
Well, we hope it's a guy named Phil Taylor. He was the guy who transferred in a year ago or 2 years ago now.
Transferred from Penn State.
Played last year. He was voted this time last year the preseason defensive newcomer of the year. And, you know, quite frankly, didn't live up to that this past season. But they hope now that he's settled in, he's going to be a senior coming up. And he's just a big body with good feet, good mobility in the defensive line. And hopefully he's the guy that sort of sets the tone for Baylor in that defensive front.
John, when you look at the 4-8 season, is Art Briles, what do you see this season breaking down? Is this a season which Robert Griffin get this team to a bowl?
Yeah, that's the hope here. I mean, that is certainly the hope of our coaching staff and our players. I think the schedule lines up nicely. There's some tough games, but you know, there's a chance for Baylor to get some momentum early, get some wins early, and build some positive momentum. So no question about it, the goal of this team, and it was last year too, you know, but Robert getting hurt sort of derailed that or slowed things down a little bit. But the goal of this team this year is to end in a bowl game. And as you know, it'd be the first time in a bowl for Baylor since 1994. So everybody's got their hopes up again for this season.
I think special teams-wise, Derek Epperson looks to be maybe one of the best punters in the Big 12. Do they like the kicking situation?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, very solid at punter with Derek Epperson. I've seen one poll that has him ranked as the number two punter in the nation in preseason All-Big 12, you know, the best in the Big 12, preseason at least. So you got to feel good about that. Kicker was a little bit shaky last year, but they hope to shore that up this season. Our return guys, you know, I think are very solid. So I think overall special teams are really a plus for this team.
John, we've been asking everybody this, the Big 12 title game, who do you have in it, and who are your offensive and defensive players of the year?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I hadn't really thought about that to put it down on paper yet. Let me see here. I would say Nebraska from the north, and not just because I'm on with you guys, but I think you guys got a lot back, and obviously in defense you got a lot of guys back. And then in the south, I would say, you know, Texas had a lot of losses. I might say Oklahoma coming out of the south. So maybe those two meeting in the Big 12 championship game, although it would be a pretty good drama if it was Nebraska and Texas again in Nebraska's last year in the Big 12. I've seen that written somewhere, you know, how fitting that would be if those two met in what could very well be Nebraska's final Big 12 championship game. Players of the year. I'm going to have to ask for a pass on that because I need to think that through to make sure
fine.
I don't skip over somebody.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. We appreciate the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show. We got to catch up with you during the run the Baylor Bears made in the NCAA tournament. We appreciate that. And look forward to seeing you in Dallas.
That'd be great. We'll see you in Dallas. That's not far away.
No, it's not. Thanks so much, John Morris, play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. 12 teams in 12 days leading up to Big 12 Media Days. Baylor ever going to get out of that cellar down there?
I don't know. I don't get to watch much from other teams, but I know that quarterback. I've seen him a couple times, and so, you know, with their style of offense, you never know. They've got a good coach.
You know, he's the one that wants to get out and make things happen with his leg. What is a knee injury like that when you fully tear your ACL and you're out for 8 months? And does it change the way you think when you tuck that ball away?
I would think so. You know, just the fear of hurting it again. And, you know, I've never had anything like that, but obviously dealt with a lot of guys that have that issue. And the thing that they always talk about is trying to push it for fear of hurting it again.
Yeah, Robert Griffin certainly looks to be one of the most exciting players in the Big 12. Got the ball in his hands on every possession on that offensive half. Just defensively, you know, Art Briles is used to winning. When he was at Houston, he won. When he was in the high school ranks in Texas, he won. He go to Baylor, it's just a different deal. And with Texas, Oklahoma, you're pretty much the young stepbrother that nobody's accepted yet, and they haven't been able to step up and knock anybody off on a consistent basis. And, you know, my Big 12 poll, and I think Doug's does too. No, Doug's got Texas Tech below Baylor, which Doug, I think, was, I don't know if he did that late at night or what he was thinking, but Baylor looks to finish at the bottom of that conference, I think, again. But we need to take another break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll wrap things up after this.
Hey, we've got Wendell Middlebrooks back with us, the world-famous Miller High Life delivery man.
What's up, Mike?
Well, you've been here a few times to tell us about this terrific program that Miller High Life and IAVA, that's Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, have pulled together.
Yeah, we're donating 10 cents for every High Life or High Life Light bottle cap or can pull tab we get returned to us.
And the donations are all used to help give these men and women a piece of the High Life as a show of gratitude.
Yeah, Bubba. Returning vets will be able to take part in High Life experiences in their hometowns. Stuff like tickets to baseball and football games, concerts, NASCAR races, the High Life. It all kicks off on Independence Day weekend.
Boy, this program is really going to be special.
People are really excited. For example, thousands of vets and their families will get to go to baseball games all over the country on 4th of July weekend. A few lucky vets will even get to throw out the first pitch and shag balls during batting practice.
That sounds like the High Life to me.
There you have it. Hope this program is a raging success. Everyone, make sure you send in your bottle caps and can pull tabs and help give our vets a piece of the High Life.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
The NHL handed out its postseason hardware Wednesday.
Instantly and on demand, anytime you want sports video.
But it was far from a masterpiece.
AP Sports is on ESPNRadioSuperstation.com.
The Americans are once again preparing to play.
Where you'll also find ESPN Sports Center on demand.
When I step on the court, this is not going to change. I'm always going to work hard.
Taylor Hall is the first piece in downtrodden Edmonton's rebuilding project.
ESPNSuperstation.com with a new look coming soon.
We'll see some areas of fog early on today. Otherwise, looking at partly to mostly sunny skies throughout the day with highs of 96. South winds stay at 10 to 15. And we'll stay partly cloudy tonight with a low of 74 as winds stay to the south. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 81.
Hot back Doug and Daddy's show, wrapping things up on a Tuesday. Doug back in studio tomorrow. Also on tomorrow's show, Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. Also able to catch up with Wyatt while Kansas State was making their run through the NCAA tournament. So that's the last time we've talked to him. Always gracious with his time. He's on vacation, but he's still going to allow us to catch up with him. So we're looking forward to that as well on the Doug and Daddy show tomorrow. Coach, you've had an opportunity to see the Big 12 venues. You've had an opportunity to see the SEC venues. What's the best venue you've attended in a college? Or as a coach, are you so zoned in on what's going on, you're not really paying attention to the atmosphere?
No, I mean, I notice the atmosphere. I think that's one of the reasons why you coach and do it. But I always, when we played at Nebraska, I always enjoyed that, just coming back to Lincoln.
Did you ever make it close?
No, well, every game, you know, the games that we played against them, they weren't blowouts, but, you know, they caught us in the end with their depth issues. I know Chancellor Christensen mentioned that, and that was kind of true when we would play them when I was at Kansas. But down in the Southeastern Conference, all the venues were very good. You know, the tailgating, LSU was probably the best.
Did you see LSU at night?
Yeah, both games that we played LSU were at night. In fact, we won both when we went into Death Valley and won both games there. Alabama was as loud as it gets. Auburn, Georgia, you know, we didn't play in Florida. But even the other ones, you know, Mississippi State, Arkansas had a great stadium. So it was a good deal, and I really enjoyed it.
When your headsets are on in Death Valley, can you hear? I mean, can you hear through your headset when you're on the sideline?
Yeah, no, you don't really hear the, you know, when you take it off, obviously you can, but when you have the headset on, it's pretty clear. You know, the only time sometimes if a band is near you, that sometimes you hear that noise, but I don't think it ever affected being able to hear.
Best player, obviously Eli. You've been around?
Well, I'd say Eli or Deuce McAllister. You had mentioned Deuce Staley. It was Deuce McAllister.
Oh, Deuce, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'd say those two. But, you know, when I was at Kansas, we had Gilbert Brown and Dana Stubblefield. Oh, and Dana was player of the year in the NFL, defensive player of the year. But, you know, those are four guys that come to mind. But there's been quite a few. But I'd say as a pro, maybe Eli, just because of winning the Super Bowl.
Run stoppers, though, Gilbert Brown to this day. I mean, when you just say to the casual football fan, or maybe not casual, but you're into the NFL and you say, give me a run stopper in the NFL, Gilbert Brown's name would come up, I would think, 9 out of 10 times as that one guy that's just big and they don't, I mean, he just double team, doesn't matter. They can't move him. He just...
Yeah,
backs things up, and linebackers run to the football.
Yeah, Gilbert, you know, played the nose in the NFL. He was a defensive shade for us. The defense was a little bit different, but he was a big guy that could run. But you know, he kept getting bigger and bigger as he got into the NFL. And you're right, he was unmovable. Now he could only play certain parts of the game as far as certain downs, but he was a load and really a good player.
What are the Lopers going to be this fall? When do you start camp?
We start. We go back to work on the 26th, but the players will come in the 6th, and our first practice is the 7th of August. So it's just right around the corner.
And I think last year just had a different feel to it. I think you guys were really excited. Had the line was finally a year older. They'd been young, so we said that for 2 years. They finally had matured to the point where you guys really thought that you could have a competitive season if everything went right. You get off to a good start beating UNO. I think everybody looks to that game to say really a tone setter for the season. same way this season. It seems like there's just a different feel. Quarterbacks in place, a lot of that line, maybe missing a couple pieces in the line offensively, but those skill positions look as strong as ever. And then if you can find a couple defensive backs, the defense should be meaner and tougher than ever.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to it. I know you're right. Last year we had a pretty good idea that if we kept guys healthy and we had a really good senior class and some other guys that bought in. Plus, whenever you have a returning quarterback, that's big. You know, especially early in the year when if they've already gone through a season and made their mistakes and seen some stuff, that helps. And now Jake's going to be a junior, so obviously he's back. We do have some question marks. I know Darryl lost some offensive linemen that were 2-, 3-, 4-year starters, and I did as well in the secondary. So those are some things that you kind of wish that you didn't open up right away with two teams that are possible playoff teams in UNO and Wayne. But at the same time, you got to play them sometimes. So we had a good spring. I think we've had a good summer, and I think we're going to be pretty good.
I think our friend Pete Trash is going to get on the field.
Well, it depends. Pete got banged up a little bit in the Shrine Bowl, and so they had to do a little some surgery on his knee. I did talk to his mom yesterday, and he's doing some rehab, so we'll kind of wait and see. We don't want to rush that thing along. Pete's going to be a great player here at UNK, and you know, whether that's next year or not, we'll just wait and see how his knee, how the rehab goes.
You know, I think one of the few linemen that leave UNK history that people know as a household name is Jack Hyatt. How do you replace Jack, or is that one you just don't replace? You just hope to do the best you can and fill in that hole.
Yeah, it's hard to replace a guy like Jack because he brought so many different things: his work ethic, his toughness, his ability, his leadership. Plus, he was a really good player, and he played hurt, never come out of the game, very reliable.
He's mean, wasn't he?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a dirty player, but he'd go right to the whistle and get after you. So you had to know where he was at all the time, and it didn't matter whether it was a game or practice, Jack was going to be around. But we've got some guys that we feel can step up and play, maybe not play to Jack's level, but at the same time, as long as they can do the fundamental part, they'll be fine.
Well, I think if you're an All-American as many times as Jack Hyatt was, it's going to be tough to step up to that level. I don't care if it's Division I, Division II, NAIA Division III. He's just an exceptional player that freshman through sophomore, junior, senior, he was just tough all the way through, and he breaks his hand, doesn't matter. He snaps with the other hand. Stayed healthy, other than that, really.
Yeah, he wasn't healthy. He played through.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But no, he'll be missed. But with the offensive line, they're a unit rather than certain positions. So they'll gel, and I think we'll be pretty good up there as well this year.
Well, I think if all the boys head to Complete Nutrition, they'll certainly have an edge on the competition. 42nd Second Avenue is where it's at. Hey. Cholesterol care, weight management, men's health products, meal replacement, protein supplements, muscle recovery products, sleep aids, health shakes and smoothies, stress relief products, children's health. Complete Nutrition is where it's at. It's a new store located right out in front of the Archway Plaza, 42nd and 2nd Avenue. Go in, ask Jeff whatever it is you may need. He will set you up. No one is more knowledgeable in the nutrition business than our friend Jeff Florell at Complete Nutrition. Check him out today. Complete Nutrition, 42nd and 2nd Avenue. Merritt, I think we're wrapping up the Tuesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach Kroc, thanks for sitting in for Doug today, and I appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
I want to thank Chancellor Christensen for sitting in as well. Interesting to have the chancellor in here for a half hour of his time. Even in the summer, things might slow down, but it's still awfully, awfully busy getting budget done and things. We want to thank him. I want to thank John Morris, Baylor Bears play-by-play voice, as well, for giving his thoughts on where the Baylor Bears could rank. Is this a team that could make a run? Non-conference schedule, Sam Houston State, Buffalo, at TCU, and at Rice. So, not afforded that luxury of getting those games at home. They're 2-2, two at home, two on the road there. But we'll have to see how that breaks in. Can Robert Griffin stay healthy? Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug's back in studio along with Wyatt Thompson, play-by-play voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. We'll see you then. Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.